I feel so totally unworthy to bring you what I feel the Lord would have me to bring you tonight. I feel like an unworthy vessel before the Lord because the Lord wants to do such a profound thing in us, and He is about to move by His Spirit in a new way upon us, and I'm so thankful for that. Because I know there's been those of us that were ready. And tonight, as I was praying before the Lord, He caused me to hear with His ears. And now let me know that now was the time for me to share some of the things that God has been dealing with me in and the experiences that I have held. Because the Lord is hearing your cry. He's hearing the longing of your heart. He's hearing how you want to be that broken vessel. He's hearing how you're pouring yourself out at His feet. And He's hearing how you're coming to the cross and how you long to be resurrected in that newness of life and with that power. And He's going to honor those prayers. He's hearing them. He's hearing them. And He is about to pour out His Spirit upon us in a new, fresh move of His Spirit. But it's going to be different than some of us think. I know when it began to happen to me, as the Lord gave me some experiences that I might be able to relate them to you. It's been different than what I thought. But it's glorious. It's so glorious. It's so holy. You remember when the Lord began to show us these different steps and where He was going to take us before this new move of the Spirit started a few years ago, that as I began to share this, I knew that there were steps and that the Lord was taking us someplace. And just like the pastor mentioned this morning, we're on a journey. We're going someplace. God has got someplace to take us. We're going up into the glory and the marvelous experiences of being one with the Son. And I'm sure that we do not comprehend the totality of that, even for this ministry on this earth, let alone what He has in store for us on the other side. But we're on our way, and God is going to place us in His beloved Son, and we're going to know what it means to be in the beloved in a very real and wonderful way. Well, part of that experience that I had back there had to do with the holiness of God and how that the Lord is going to give us a baptism in His holiness. And before I tell you what that entails, because now I feel like I know just a little bit more because of some experiences that I've had, I'm going to start back just a little ways as far as in the experiences that I've had goes, because I think it's important that you get this picture. And as I've experienced some unions with the Son of Man, as I have felt as if I was one with Him, it has taken me into some Old Testament types, and I was allowed to experience the holiest of holies. I experienced Jesus as the holiest of holies. There was no Ark of the Covenant in it at the time that I experienced it, but I felt as Jesus felt to be the holiest of holies, to be that holy temple, that the Ark of the Covenant might dwell in Him, that the very hallowed presence of the Almighty God might dwell in Him. Oh, He has that experience for us, because each one of us are to be the temple of the Ark. Each one of us are to be that holiest of holies. And it's indescribable to try to relate to you what that felt like or exactly what that entailed. But all I can say, it's so holy, it's so pure. It's more than just being cleaned out. It's more than just being white inside. It's more than just feeling like you know that everything is all right between you and your Maker. It's more than that. It's more than just the loss of sin. It's more than being just covered by the blood of Jesus. It's more than that. It is a holy, holy, holiness. And as I experienced that, oh, there was weeks where all I could do was just say, holy, 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 holy. It is so very holy. The Lord is calling us to be the holiest of holies as we're in Christ. And this is what our brother Doug is talking about, to just die. Just die. You know, we just want to be dead so that we begin to be that temple, that we can start containing the ark. Containing the ark. But then I experienced, and this was another time, the loss of the ark. I believe I experienced perhaps what Jesus experienced as he read in the Old Testament how the Ark of the Covenant was lost. It was lost. It was lost from God's people for so long. And how his heart was broken, realizing that he was going to be lost from his people. He was going to be lost from his church after he paid the price, that then his church was not going to receive him. He wasn't going to be able to dwell among his church as a glorified Son of Man. It was going to be lost. His identity was going to be lost. They weren't going to understand who the Son of Man was and is, and how we can have union with him. And so his presence was going to be lost in the church. Oh, and I wept and I wept and I wept with grief of what the suffering of Jesus has been as he experienced that. Now I recognize fully that he is up there sitting beside the Father, and he is glorified. And so I know that this interim time when the church has not experienced, he has not been experiencing great suffering as a man, but as a man on this earth, as he began to have the experience, as he walked in this flesh on this earth, and as he in the Old Testament read and saw himself, he experienced that. He experienced it, and how his heart was so grieved and so torn, because he knew there was coming a time when he would be lost from his church. And we have seen it. We have seen it, haven't we? You look at church history. They haven't known Jesus. They haven't. They still don't know Jesus in relationship to his Father. They don't yet. But oh, the joy of having that ark come again, yeah. Of having that ark restored, yeah. And how it was necessary for it to be borne upon shoulders, and I'll talk about that in a few moments in relationship to another aspect. But I began then to experience parts of that ark as Jesus, of course, is the ark. I experienced that mercy seat. Oh, that's love. Did you know that? That mercy seat is the love of Jesus. There's no way you can experience the mercy seat without experiencing love. That mercy seat is love. It is love. Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace is what that mercy seat is. It is Jesus' love, but it is loneliness as well. It is all the stripes that he bore as well. It is all of the pain that he suffered as well. Oh, that mercy seat I want, and I covet it for each one of you. I want you to experience how holy that gold mercy seat is. How priceless. No wonder. It had to be made out of pure gold. No wonder. Oh, Jesus was worth far more to his Father than that slab of gold. Now, I didn't experience the cherubim on the mercy seat, but I experienced the manna. I just wanted to eat and eat and eat of Jesus. And I also wanted to get into a place where people could feast on me. Oh, how I long to be able to be in that place where people can feast upon me. Yeah. and be fed and fed and fed and fed and have no want. And I experienced the law and how Jesus was the law fulfiller. Oh, the blood of Jesus that fulfilled the law. And all of this was wrapped in such a holiness that I can't even describe it. And then the life of Aaron's rod that budded. Oh, the life, the healing virtue, the power that is there. Oh, the Lord wants to resurrect us into that life, into that power, that it might flow from us and flow and flow and flow. Healing, miracle power is in that rod. Oh, and the Lord wants to get us to a place where we can experience that rod, continually budding in our lives, continually budding in our lives. But as I was waiting before the Lord, I felt like, Lord, how are mere words going to possibly explain what holiness is? Holiness is not being pure. Holiness is not being righteous or doing good things. That's not holiness. Holiness is a presence. Holiness is a presence. Oh. And then the Lord began to deal with me, and he said, are you willing to let holiness come my way? And I said, well, yes, Lord, I'm willing. I mean, yes, I don't know how to make holiness come. That's been my concern, Jesus, is how is holiness going to come? How are we going to experience it? What is it going to be like? It's certainly got to be something that is going to be ever-present with it. It's going to be a reality to us. How is it going to come? How are we going to experience it? What do you want me to do? What do you know you want me to do with these relationships that you've given me, these experiences that you've given me? Should I just tell them? What should I do? How can I bring this to the people? And he said, are you willing to let me bring it the way I want to bring it? And I said, yes, Lord, I am willing. You see, I thought that it was going to be some fantastically glorious, magnificent, wonderful, high, regal, majestic experience. And Jesus showed me a donkey. He showed me the donkey that he rode into Jerusalem on. Just that lowly donkey. And he said, will you despise this donkey? And at first I thought, no, I don't want this donkey. I wanted the other, you know. I wanted the glory and the majesty and all of that. But I said, no, Lord, I won't despise the donkey. And then he said, all right. You said you wouldn't despise the vessel. You're the vessel. You're the vessel. I said, Lord, I don't know how to get it across to the people. I don't know how to do it. All you have to do is just be willing to bear me. I'm not going to come on a cart. No. This thing has to be borne on shoulders of people. It has to be borne upon the shoulders. And there has to be the sacrifices. I can understand fully now why David stopped every few feet and offered a sacrifice to the Lord as the holy temple was being brought back. Oh, it's going to take continual sacrifice on it, on our parts, in order to be worthy shoulders to bear the holiness of the Lord. But this holiness is going to be seen in lowliness. And that's what I've been experiencing. The lowliness of Jesus. The lowliness, the humility. Not the grand and glorious and powerful. No. No, just to come on the back of a donkey, that's all. No regal garments. No big fanfare. Just the lowliness. Just the humility. Just the nothingness. Just the death of the cross, as Doug has mentioned. Oh, so sweet to die. So sweet. So sweet to be lowly. And lately all I could do is say, lowly, lowly, Jesus, lowly. Lowly, Jesus, let us know your lowliness, Lord. We will identify with your lowliness. We will not despise your lowliness. We will not despise your humility. No, Lord, we will not despise it. But we will identify ourselves with it. We will be a lowly people. We will be a humble people. And that is what's going to bring in the holiness. Oh, I felt that the Lord would have you to somehow get a hold of this in your heart. I feel that music ministry especially needs this. Because the Lord wants to take this meager information so inaptly brought and somehow apply it to your hearts in some way, I know that, to give you a little tool, something, so that you can begin to move in this new realm that God has for us. So you can begin to bring before those songs that is going to be the vehicle that is going to carry us in there as we begin to experience and sing over and over again our hallowed worship to the Lord and the lowliness of his nature and the meekness, the tenderness, the kindness, the mercifulness, the graciousness. There's going to come such a worship in our praise, in our worship service. I know we call it a worship service, but oh, it's so far below what God has for us. Not that this isn't a necessary step. That's why I just didn't want to bring this too soon. I didn't want it to be premature, because I know we have to come to the full in that which we are experiencing right now before we can go on. But oh, I feel that there are those that want to reach forth for more. There are those I've heard your cries through the ear of Jesus. There are those who want to go higher. They want to go deeper. They want to experience something more from Jesus than victory, than joy because they're free, than thankfulness because they're delivered, than wonderfulness because they love him and can express it, and wonderfulness because they can receive his love and the excitement of that. And oh, all of that is so marvelous, and it's all necessary. And if we don't believe Jesus loves us and we can't receive his love, then we'll never be able to experience this other. We've got to have all of those steps. It's so necessary. But oh, there's coming a fresh, new wave of his spirit. But it's not going to be come crashing in like those 30-foot waves with all the drama of that and us on the tops riding them in glory. But it's going to come when we begin to experience the lowliness of Jesus. It's going to give you such God's people. We will have it. But the Lord is looking for those able men who will bear it on their shoulders. Oh, I know how unworthy we feel to be the cherub, to bear the very Lord Jesus to the church, to bear him in, to bear his holy presence among the people. But God is calling us to be that. He's calling us to be the holiest of holies. And that is not something that you just decide. This is an experience that you have. And that is an experience that you learn to live out in your life. And that I have not attained to yet. But I'm on my way. Oh, I'm on my way. I'm willing to be that lowly, lowly servant to bear Jesus, that others might cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna. Oh, I want you to get a vision of the next step that the Lord is calling us to. And as we wait before him, as we long after him, as we're willing to die to self, we're going to find ourselves transformed into that donkey, as it were, that we might bear him. Oh, I want you to each one make the commitment that you'll be whatever Jesus wants you to be. And that you will identify with all of Jesus, and not just the glorious parts, but the humble parts, the parts that are misunderstood, the parts that are rejected, the parts that are lowly, the uncomely parts, the unlovely parts. Those are all necessary. And when we begin to put ourselves in that position, I believe that we're on our way to opening the door so that Jesus can come in our midst. And we're going to have the very presence of the glorified Son of Man dwelling in us and in our midst. And it is going to cause such a very holy reverence to come. Now, you see, it's necessary that we're willing for this. Are you willing for the songs to change? Are you willing? Are you willing? The dance is going to change. Are you willing? I mean, it's so nice and fun and glorious to have what we've got, you know. It feels so good, doesn't it? But, oh, the Lord is calling us to something deeper. But we have to be willing to have a different type of song come forth. It's going to be a holy, reverent song. It's going to be a worship song. See, it's not going to be a song that is going to be quite so full of joy and gladness, but oh, this joy is going to be so much deeper. This gladness is going to be something that causes tears to flow instead of laughter to come. A deeper kind of gladness, a deeper type of rejoicing than the joy that we're experiencing now. And I'm not saying it's going to be heavy. It isn't going to be heavy. It's going to be glorious, but it's going to be a different level of glory than we're on now. It is going to be closer to the very heart of God. I know that's where we want to go. And it's going to create in people such a reverence for this move of God. Such a reverence for the truth. Oh, they're going to be able to treat the truth in such a tender way. Oh, I'm so tempted to tell you some more experiences that I've had along those lines. As far as the tenderness is concerned, oh, but we got to take this step first. I feel that the Lord is calling us to be sober before him, to be sober like we've never been sober before. And I don't mean to lose our happiness either, but he wants us to be sober. He wants us to recognize the day of our visitation. The Lord is very, very serious about this. He's very, very genuine and sincere. And I feel like he's just waiting. He's waiting to see how much we can respond. And the degree that we can respond, that'll be the degree that he's able to move us in. And so if you're anxious for more, then let's respond with our whole hearts. Let's be totally willing in every single area. Oh, it's time for our vessels to be purified. We've got to be pure vessels, else we can't be holy vessels. And so the purifying has got to hurry up and get over with, so we can go ahead with the holiness. So let's not be late. Let's say, yes, Jesus, we're willing. We'll reach forward. We want all that you have for us. And we're willing to be identified with you in every single aspect of your life. Hallelujah.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare thine heart. Prepare thine heart, my people. Prepare thy heart, for yea, the judge standeth at the door. Yea, the judge standeth at the door. Yea, hear ye the word of the Lord, for surely I come quickly. Prepare ye your heart, saith thy God. Prepare ye your heart, saith thy God. Prepare ye your heart, saith thy God.
Lord, I pray that this people will hear the voice of the living God. Oh Lord, we want to hear your voice. For, O Lord, you said, if any man will hear my voice and will open up, I will come in and sup with him. Lord, you told us to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Father, we hear you calling. We hear you calling. If you sent a forerunner, a messenger, a prophet before Jesus in the first coming, wilt thou not also send a warning call, the criers, behold, the bridegroom cometh? Will you not also call your people by your Spirit in the churches? Will you not send your prophets, your pastors with your word to teach your people? Will you not call them that they might prepare their hearts for the coming of the Lord? Draweth nigh again, this time from heaven. Lord, I pray that the people might hear and have ears to hear. I pray, Lord, we'll not let this night go unnoticed, but we will build upon it. We will pray upon it. Father, I pray that these old vessels will be broken, that the light of life will be seen in it, that the treasure will be seen and not the clay vessel. Father, help us to be spilled out upon the ground as water. Help us not to magnify ourselves, but to lose our lives that we might find it in you. Help us to be willing, O God, to deny ourselves, take up the cross that thou hast given for us, and to follow you in that way of self-denial, allowing ourselves to be lost, to die to self, to go into the ground as it would be unseen, that we might come forth 100-fold unto God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we might understand that unless we die and go to the ground, we cannot germinate into 100 Christ-like souls. For Lord, as long as we live, there will be no life from us. But only if we die can that source of life in Christ bring forth, like unto us, others for your glory, for the one loaf of heaven. I ask you, Lord, that in this night we might recognize what the Spirit is saying. Keep our hearts, O God, tender before you. May we make decisions not to magnify ourselves, recognizing that he that exalteth himself shall be humbled and abased, but he that abases himself shall be exalted. For many the first shall be last, and many the last shall be first. Father, forgive us our sins. Forgive us, O God, our sins of omission, all the omissions we've done, all the things we have not performed that we should have, all the acts of mercy, the loving you with our whole heart, the panting after you as a heart doth after the water brook. Forgive us for not rising from our bed where we sought you when you knocked at our door. Forgive us for not coming away with you in the Spirit when you called to us through our lattice. Forgive us, O God, for being slow of mind and dull of hearing and blind of eyes, lame of legs. O God, forgive us for our sins of ignorance, our sins of commission, for our wrong attitudes, our lack of faith, our worldliness. For you said friendship with the world is enmity against God. Forgive us, O God, our fear of man. For you said the fear of man is the beginning of folly, but the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Forgive us, O God, our fear of witnessing. For you said if we'll be ashamed of you, you'll be ashamed of us in that day. Help us, O God, to recognize that we are ambassadors walking in this land, pilgrims and strangers. Help us, O God, to love like Christ loved, to have your heart. Help us to go on a journey towards you. Help us, O Lord, to put ourselves under, to agonizomai, to agonize, O God, in the Spirit, that we might bear fruit and come forth like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord gave me something tonight along the very same lines as my wife, completely different analogies. And he showed me what the Lord saw after he went away. But first, when Jesus was here on earth, he was said to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. His sorrows did not come because he was poorly treated, because he wasn't popular, because he didn't have a lot, because he was hurt in the flesh. His sorrows came because the heart of the Father was not satisfied, because people who he made, who he created for his glory to love, was not loving him. Because they would not turn from the devil, they chose the devil over Almighty God. He had grief in his heart because he saw them going into perdition without hope and blindness. And on the brow of the hill of Gethsemane, he looked across 5/8 of a mile to the city of Jerusalem. And with a heart breaking, wept the whole Jerusalem. Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you under my wings as a hen doth a brood, but you would not. But you would not. He died of a broken heart. He died of a broken heart. And out came water of the gushings of a broken heart with the blood. He loved his own, but his own received him not. He came to forgive, not to condemn. He came healing, casting out demons, raising the dead, stilling the storms, multiplying the loaves and fishes, and for that they killed him, because he said who he was. Because the long-awaited Messiah had come. Because he did not fit in with their preconceived ideas of their church. That was the reason. Because the Messiah did not fit in with their traditional presumptions and assumptions of the ecclesiastical system that they had envisioned, and therefore they rejected him. There are churches today rejecting the Spirit of the living God because he is not fitting in with their preconceived notions of the move of the Spirit. They have it all figured out differently how God shall move and what He shall do. And because it's different, they won't accept it. If Jesus had come as another Jeremiah, another David, they would have accepted Him. If He would have just been like what the prophets they had of old, that was they were used to, they could have accepted that. There are many Christians today that if God will just move like the revivals of the past that they're used to, they will accept that. But if He comes in a new way, they cannot abide it. They cannot abide it. It doesn't fit in with all that they think. Now what the Lord showed me tonight was Jesus was forsaken and left alone because His words were too high for the people. They could not understand the depth, nor the height, nor the breadth of His words. And they said he has the devil. They did not follow Him from that day on. The woods were too high. The Lord is wanting to bring revelations way too high for many minds. The church world is not prepared for the revelations that God will give because it's not in accordance with all that they have known of the past. They have never conquered nor lived in a golden age. They did not have the New Jerusalem, but they demand everything be like the past, which was never good enough. Afraid of the future. And when Jesus was caught up and glorified on high, because though men on earth with blind eyes could not see and understand, the angels in heaven rejoiced Him home as a victor. And God the Father was well pleased. In heaven He was a hero, though on earth He was despised. I wanted to know that if you walk with God, in heaven you'll be a hero. The angels will understand, and so will the Father. Although on earth you'll be despised and rejected of men. And after Jesus went away, He saw the light and the oil begin to leak out of His church. And He saw that there began to be an ecumenicism. He saw there began to be a blending of philosophies. He saw the intellectual Christians who did not have the move of the Spirit meet in their universities in Alexandria, the city of college wisdom. And they begin to blend the philosophies of Philo and a Jewish philosopher and Plato, a Greek philosopher, and Christ into a Logos Christology. They begin to philosophize instead of live the life and walk in the Spirit. And through a couple of centuries of wrangling and compromise formulas, they came to council decisions. And they burned the books of those who would not agree. And damned them and excommunicated them and said, "This is now forever truth." And Jesus saw from heaven's balcony the church began to go into a worldwide Christianized paganism. And everything I'm going to tell you about what Jesus saw from heaven is what we see right now. Christianized paganism, Hollywood holiness, forms of worship contrary to the living God. Jesus saw them begin to call men Papa or Pope and the prelates Father. Although Jesus said, "Call no man Father, for there is one which is your Father which is in heaven." You have no spiritual father but God. He is the Father. Pray, Father who art in heaven. And today we still have men who want to call themselves Father, and there are plenty of Christians willing to call them Father, in spite of the fact that Jesus commissioned his disciples to go out and teach all that he had taught. And they begin to bow before men instead of Jesus. And these self-made fathers begin to call them son. Yes, son. They begin to begat them after a religion sense instead of after a godly sense. Now, there is a sense in which it's legitimate for Paul to call Timothy his son in the faith. That meaning one that he was young and took under his wing and brought up to know Jesus. But that's quite a bit different than the pompous father, yes, son. He saw them kiss the ring of authority of the Pope, crawling step by step up to the heights of his throne. Instead of ascending in the spirit to the heights of God's throne and kissing his authority. They saw men begin to take upon themselves the glory, to begin to walk as though they were gods. And you know, today, there are so many ministers wanting the glory, the popularity of the people, to make themselves great. And I have seen not a few become haughty. I have heard them on the phone, and I have heard them speak to other people in a most unchristian way, like in the early centuries. I have seen that spirit within them that made them rise up and overlord and get, you know, they got so high and puffed up. And this was mentioned at the Southern Baptist Conference. Instead of becoming humble and giving the glory to Jesus, instead of being a servant, Jesus came to be a servant. But men don't want to be servants. They want to go out and build great edifices. Jesus saw churches that rose in spires to the sky. Built them so high they couldn't even heat them. Couldn't carry hardly any people. But make them high and lofty at great expense from the people. Instead of putting the money in the ministry, they put it in the high imposing buildings. And there is in the hearts of men today that to build an empire to themselves and a glory to themselves. And you take those and you put them into eldership, leadership, pastorship. In the heart of some of those going to Bible college, they want to go out and become mighty, great among the people, and have their church imposing to make a name for themselves as though they're building a tower to heaven, instead of to come on a lowly donkey, instead of to walk, put the robe over you at night, lay upon the ground if necessary, carry nothing with you but minister needs into the people. Instead of coming with a heart to meet their needs, they want all the people to come before them. Instead of people coming before the Lord. This is what Jesus saw, and is still with us today. And he saw them begin to pray to the mother of Jesus and to saints instead of Jesus, until they prayed to the mother of Jesus more than Jesus. But the mother of Jesus had no power to help them, nor the saints, but turned so that Jesus would not get the glory. And then they begin to multiply God. All the heathen world, without exception, had to have a number of gods to take care of the many problems on planet Earth. One took care of the rain, and one took care of the wind, and one took care of the fire, and one took care of these plagues, and another took care of battle on hills, and another took care of the battle on the plains. And each god was a general, but no one over them. There was an equal eldership among the gods, as it were, although there were chief gods too. But only among the pure monotheism of Israel was there one God who could do all things alone, all by himself, needing no committee. But they have leavened the meal. And they have divided God up and made him a committee, that he might not receive the same glory. And these things are still with us. And Jesus saw them drag in multitude of traditions contrary to the Word of God. And today the church is married to tradition, loaded with things that are not of the Word. And after having brought in all the non-scriptural things, they then turned around and dared call any man that God would give life to and begin to reform the church in a reformation and a new light and a new revival. If any man begin to follow the holy word which they hid, they call them heretics for obeying the word and burn them at the stake. For following the word and loving Jesus, because they would not follow the traditions of the church. That exact same spirit is with us today. If we will not follow the traditions of councils of men, they want to burn us in infamy. If we follow the word of God, then they say, heretic. And if we do, like Martin Luther, to contest the word of God with their famous Dr. X, then it's the same situation all over again. Well, the Duke asked the Catholic leading theologian, Dr. X, Dr. X, can you refute Martin Luther? And he said, I can by the Catholic tradition, but not by the word of God. And the Duke said, then they have more of the word than we. And instantly when you go to refute them with the word, they say, we can refute you with tradition, but not with the word. We have the same thing today. And they begin, Jesus looked down and he saw them change repentance to penitence, work. He saw them to put glory into the system instead of to God. And that's still with us today. And he saw them hide the word of God and begin to speak it only in a tongue that people could not understand. To speak, preach to them in a Latin that they did not understand. Confusing the word. And then bringing the word down so there was very tiny amounts ever brought. And then turn and begin to preach from the fathers. So-called. I don't call them fathers. Today the same thing is true. Teach what men taught and not give much of the word. And confuse the word that is God.
so the people can't have it and don't know it. But God has called us, like Tyndale who said, to one cardinal, the Lord giving me strength will make it so the boy behind the plow knows more of the Word of God than thou. For God wants the Word in His people because they are to be the living Word, not followers of a religion. Jesus watched. After all what He had done, He stood there and watched the corruption. He watched the men walk in their high hats, holding the cross. But no holiness within, but hypocrisy without. And today we've got that same thing, having the power of God, but having the form of God, but denying the power thereof. Holding up the cross, but not carrying the cross in the hearts. Outward. Blessing the people in ways that you cannot bless them because God did not bless them. Jesus saw everything He did become undone to a religious system that was to be known as the worldwide religion of truth, the Mother Church. God doesn't know a Mother Church. He only knows a Father and a Son Church. You see, people tried to become something big and then be careless about their life. That was the Dark Ages. Today we have a carelessness of life with a form. Genuflexing, bowing, lighting of candles. Doing something to try to please God instead of being to please God. Witness to please God. Give money to please God. Sing to please God. Work to please God. Volunteer to please God. Anything but to be to please God. And then being, of course, then doing. They want to do instead of being. Instead of being so that you automatically do. So I'm closing this prompt to extemporaneous message tonight by saying, I think the Lord is speaking to us that the way to heaven is not ascending the stair step of self-glorification. And what my wife said about the order of the services, let me say this. As we go down, we'll come up to a new height. And as we ascend to a new height, we'll be able to go deeper. The deeper we'll go, the higher we'll go. The more our roots go down, the higher we can stand the branches to go and stand the winds against them. And the broader the branches will go out. And when you become God's favored son, you know what happens? The branch runs over the wall. And people outside the wall can pick it. Jesus became a servant. The only pure man ever born of woman became a servant. And now look, he who became the least in the kingdom of heaven is the greatest. It honored God. Let's don't elbow each other through the gate. Let's don't push to make ourselves known. Let's humble ourselves before God. Let's go the way of the cross, the way of the Son of Man. See, and I close with this. The Pharisees had a tradition that they didn't know, so they invented one somewhere along the line, I suppose. But they had a tradition that the Messiah would come like Elijah went away in a whirlwind and step out of his chariot, embrace the Sadducees, The Sadducees thought. Embraced the Pharisees thought. Embraced the Baptists thought. Embraced the Essenes thought. Embraced the Pentecostals thought. And turn a wrong nose at the others. And then take away all the problems. And he didn't come that way. Came as a lonely babe out in a manger. And they couldn't abide it. It was too low for them. Too shabby and scummy. We have got to recognize the Lord is asking something inside. And it's not the way of popularity with the world. You see, Jesus said, when his own half-brothers said, going up to the feast, show you, make yourself great. That's the world's contest. Going up to the feast, make yourself great. You want to be one of God in the ministry? Go up to the feast to make yourself great. Get a following. Isn't that the way? Get a following. And Jesus said, you can go up anytime you want. The world won't even bother you. They won't even notice you any different than they are. There's so many Christians, the world doesn't even know they're any different. Been sitting right there on the job for 5 years, never even knew he was a Christian. But he couldn't have been much of a Christian. Putting bushel baskets. Christians, you see, look out and see a vast city of people. All of them with a basket over their head, hiding who they are inside. And that's the Christian Church of Jesus Christ. 25 years ago, the statistics in Pentecostal churches were that even 5% of the people won 95% of the converts. And that's still true today. The sheep are sick. They're not bearing lambs. They're sick. There's no love. And there's no procreation and no birth. There's no multiplication. Churches out here have been there 25, 35 years and they're smaller than they were in the beginning. Haven't added a brick. My friends, we need to recognize this is not, we can't play church. We're on a journey. And if you're ever on a journey, old scenes will pass away and new scenes will come into view. And we must be willing for the old scenes to pass away. And we must be willing for new scenes to come into view. And if we don't, we won't get there.
I want more and more of you, Lord. I want more. Give me more and more.
Tonight, so the service is dismissed. You may feel free to come down to the altars and wait upon God. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.
your servant, Lord. I will bear the load, Jesus. I will bear the load, Jesus. I will bear you before all men, and I'll be your servant, Lord. I will bear the lowly, Jesus. I will bear the lowly, Jesus. I will bear.
Pour out my life.
Oh.